I'd like to introduce the first speaker, Mike, he's going to...
Hi everyone, my name is Mike and I am an addict.
Mike.
My home group is Friday Night Fellowship in Greensburg. We meet 7:30, 8:30 on Friday nights. My clean date is August 19th of 2004. Just picked up my 3-year coin and key tag. I'm really grateful to be here. When I was offered to speak on this topic, I kept thinking to myself, like, what does that mean to me? You know what I mean? Because for a long time, I thought that I was different. You know what I mean? I thought that, like, when I first came to this fellowship, I was 18 years old, you know, and I didn't know, you know, I thought that, like, if I'd never done this or I never did this or I never was here, I was never there, that, like, I was different. Like, I was always looking for an excuse not to fit in, you know. But, like, what it boiled down to for me is that I was sick, you know what I mean? I was just as sick as the next person who did do this or who did do that or who was here, who was there, you know what I mean? I was just as unhealthy when I got here, and I realized that, like, when I stopped focusing on the fact that, like, maybe I wasn't as bad or I wasn't this, that, like, my focus changed, you know what I mean? I started to realize that, like, it was internal, that I was actually a sick person, that I was, that no matter what I put in me or where I went, that I was always still there, you know what I mean? Sick or healthy, that's where I was at. And, you know, and I had to go out and do some research, you know. I stayed around for a little while my first time, almost 2 years, and then I thought that, like, maybe, I used to think that if I stayed clean long enough that, like, I've tried to balance it out, do the math. Like, if I stayed clean as long as I used, then, like, I would be okay, you know. And I didn't make it to that point, but I got close, and I wasn't working any steps, and I wasn't practicing any spiritual principles in my life, and, you know, and it led me back out there. It led me back out there to do some more research. And like I said, my clean date is August 19th of 2004. I ended up in jail for the first time in my life. And that's where I got clean this last time. But, you know, this time around, I realized that, like, if I'm not practicing the steps, if I'm not trying to work on me on a daily basis, then, like, I'm a little sicker than I would be if I was working on me. You know what I mean? And I'm kind of talking about... When I actually realized that, you know, the first step it talks about we were powerless over the disease, that, you know, I had to realize that it wasn't just the drugs, it wasn't just the alcohol, it wasn't anything that I was putting in me that made me sick, you know what I mean? I relied on those character defects of mine at a really young age, you know what I mean? I was stealing, I was manipulating, I was doing things not to get high, but just to get by, you know what I mean? Just because I thought that that's what I was supposed to do. I thought that that was the way that I was supposed to be. When I came to the rooms, I realized that, like, maybe I wasn't so bad, and maybe I could be a little bit better today. And the only way that I can do that is by working the steps and doing what I need to do, you know? I finished my third step, and I've been contemplating on working my fourth step, and, you know, I still catch myself falling back on those character defects of mine, you know what I mean? And that to me is the disease of addiction talking to me, you know? I can make all the excuses in the world, you know? I'm busy today with, like, work and school and life, but my disease still talks to me, you know what I mean? Even though I'm not putting something in me, I can still rely on some of those character defects of mine, like making excuses not to go to meetings, making excuses not to call my sponsor people in my way. You know, my disease still, like, is poking at my brain at time, from time to time, and the only way that I keep that, like, keep that disease quiet is by praying and talking about what's, like, really going on with me today. You know, I sit here and I think to myself, like, what ways, that's what I was thinking about on the way up here, like, what ways does my disease, like, work at me today, you know what I mean? And it works at me in different ways. Like, in the summertime, I was like, I'm buying a motorcycle, I'm doing this, I want to buy this, I want to do that. And, you know, every time I went to do those things, God intervened and was like, I wasn't capable of doing what I wanted to do. And the only reason I was getting to that point is because I was looking for something outside of me to, like, fulfill that void, you know what I mean? And that's my disease. That's my disease telling me that, like, you know, I don't have to put anything in me, but I can use other things outside of myself to, like, to make myself feel better. And what it boils down to is those things don't ever actually make me feel better. They're just a temporary relief for what's really bothering me, you know. And it's not until I take a look at myself and I'm willing to do some work and do some figuring out that I'm capable of of moving forward and letting go of those of the and maybe filling that void up with something besides, you know, outside stuff. And
me and my sponsor were talking about this too, is that, you know, the thing I fell in love with about Narcotics Anonymous and not anything else is that, you know, I didn't have to be anything particular. You know what I mean? I didn't have to be this or that, and it didn't have to be focused on one thing. I'm here because I'm sick, you know what I mean? And I was welcome because I was sick. I wasn't welcome because of my drug of choice, or I wasn't welcome because I did this or I did that. I was welcome because, like, I'm just as sick as the next guy, and I'm capable of being better because of Narcotics Anonymous, you know? I'm not just powerless over one thing. I'm powerless over a whole heck of a lot, you know what I mean? My life isn't just, you know, I can't just say, like, oh, well, you know, today I'm powerless over whatever it might be. Like, I'm powerless over everything that I can't touch, you know what I mean? I'm powerless over everybody who's sitting here, powerless over the decisions that other people make. You know, we were coming up here, I was driving a little bit fast, and I saw these cop lights, and we slowed down, and people were following me. I called them, I was like, you know, where do we need to go? And they were like, was that you who was pulled over? And I was like, no, but that could have been me, because I wasn't, you know, I wasn't paying attention to my surroundings. Luckily, it was some guy on a motorcycle, which probably would have been me if I would have followed through with my self-serving needs that I wanted to. But, you know, that's just how God works in my life today, you know. He gives me an opportunity to see things that maybe I'm, like, doing wrong, and helps me, gives me an opportunity to, like, work on that. I think that's pretty much it. Thanks for letting me share, guys.
I'd like to introduce our next speaker, Ryan.
Hello, everyone. I'm an act named Ryan.
Yeah.
And I just need a moment of silence to kind of invite my God, my understanding in here, and you guys can invite yours, so at the end this will all be God's work. I got to share right now about something that, like, that's been bothering me, and get this off me, because seriously, like there's something my spirit is kind of like jumbled right now, and if I don't share about this and get it off me, I don't know how good of a message I'll be able to carry standing up here. You know, and I have a responsibility when I come up here to this podium, and that's to carry a message and not a mess. Like, all right, I had this great idea that it would be funny to mess with my friend who's the registration chair of this retreat and put on the back of the bookmarks that people want free gifts. And, yeah, it was really funny when I was doing it, but, like, until, like, this morning, like, some lady got a TV and, like, he told me that this lady's, like, really mad and she's going to see the Unity Retreat chair and all I'm thinking about is, like, how my area is going to look at me and, like, what kind of service am I really doing and all this stuff. But, like, none of that stuff came about when I was writing this stuff in the back of these bookmarks, man. So I, like, felt, like, this big until he told me that was a joke. But that's still bothering me because I beat myself up, you know, in this disease. Like, it loves to come and give you a suggestion, then walk away, and then, like, you take the suggestion and then, like, you do the deed. You start to face some of the consequences, and then it brings the back so you can beat yourself up. And, like, I just need to say that, man, because, like, I'm really, really, really good at beating myself up. And I just got to get that off my chest, man. So if anybody got any bookmarks that said they want some, come talk to me. I'll make the best amends I can make, you know what I mean? But, like, this morning, I was ready to hand this lady $40 out of my pocket to give her a TV. Like, that's how bad I felt, you know, and I got to think of things the whole way through, you know what I mean? This guy was trying to be of service, and here I am undercover or whatever, like, writing stuff on these bookmarks. It's not right. But, the disease, not the substance. I don't know, like, honestly, for real, for me, if it was just about the substance, I wouldn't still be here. The obsession and compulsion has been lifted as far as the dope goes, as far as the drug goes. Like, I wouldn't be here anymore. Narcotics Anonymous offers something that covers everything entirely. You know, my man was talking about the first step, and I always love the part in the step working guide when it talks about something about the disease of addiction that leads nowhere but to endless loops of emotional, physical, and spiritual decay, man. Like, and I don't know about anybody else, but if you think of a decaying body, like that's sick. And I know for me, like without the dope, like, I've done some things in recovery that, like, still make me sick. That is completely disease manifested. Like, if it looks good, tastes good, feels good, and for some reason I got the great idea that I need it, like, I'm all about it. Until I face some kind of consequences or get some help. But, like, this program offers something else. But, like, I need to identify with the disease before I get into that. And, like, look, I can remember, like, learning how to play Texas Hold'em when I came into recovery. And, like, going one night and playing, like, four $20 tournaments, spending $80 of the rent money, coming home and the birds are still chirping, and, like, I felt like I was smoking crack all night. Like, there was nothing different. Like, it was the same hole inside my gut because of, like, taking a suggestion that the disease gave. But irregardless, like, I need to look at what makes me do that in the beginning. If we're not talking about the substance or what actually I'm putting my hands on and compulsing on, I need to look at the disease. You know, there's three attributes to this disease: the physical, the mental, and the spiritual. The spiritual being the void. No matter what I put in here, nothing fills it up. Nothing makes it go away. And, I don't know what. Unless it's spiritual, man, like that emptiness, that void, that entire black hole that's just sucked people's lives and people's feelings and everything I ever cared about and just whipped them out, you know what I mean, bass-ackwards or whatever. Like that's the... I need something spiritual in this program to fill that up with, man. I need a God of my understanding. I need a relationship, you know. I need a sponsor. I need some good men in my life. As far as the mental goes, like, everybody can relate to this, man. The constant need to have more. Even when you have some. Or even when you have a lot. Like, I don't know. Like, there were some times I was king for a day in my addiction. I'm not going to stand up here and lie. I got to tell the truth. But look, and even when I had all of that, it was never enough. It's never enough. This unsatiable desire inside of me that I'm never satisfied. It is not enough. Money, food, sex, women, the whole nine. This program covers it all. It says in the first step, the disease of addiction. The things that lead nowhere but the endless loopholes, emotional, physical, and mental decay. However it goes, don't quote me. But I didn't bring my literature. Anyways, that feeling is never enough, man. And the physical. I don't know about you, but like, being honest, like, when I get into conversations about the drug and somebody maybe telling a war story or something like that, when people still mention cocaine, my body's still crazy. Like, my mouth will water still if I start thinking about it. Like I'm not completely healthy in this program. And, like, physically, like there's still something inside of me that still wants that. And, like, thank God that, like, Narcotics Anonymous taught me to, like, get rid of this stuff. You know, me and my support group, we call them drive-bys. You know what I mean? Like, you get the great idea that, like, it might be good to use one more time or whatever. You know, it's just like a drive-by because it comes and it goes. You know what I mean? But the obsession, that constant need, like, more and 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 more, never being satisfied. It's sickening. I don't know about anybody else, but for me, my disease, it starts in my head. You know what I mean? And a lot of the stuff, like, I didn't know, I wasn't completely aware of when I came to this program. Like, for instance, my fiance, I thought, like, being a nice guy was being a nice guy to the opposite sex. But, like, my fiance brought it to my attention that I was flirting. But see, like, subconsciously, like, I didn't know this. But, like, that's why this program is so great, because, like, she brought that to my attention. Like I got no business being a quote-unquote nice, whatever I called it, being a nice guy to, like, the opposite sex. Like, because I don't know about anybody else, man. Like, long before I picked up the drug, I picked up the opposite sex. And I used women the same way, man. Like, I don't even know if it was a pride and an ego thing, man. Yes, it was a pride and ego thing. Let me tell you the truth. Me and my friends used to sit on Friday night and make bets about how many people we were going to sleep with that weekend. Like, I need to tell the truth about this. Like, that's who I was. And this program, like, taught me that, like having a relationship with one woman is the right way. This program taught me spiritual principles. Like, I lay at my bed at night, man, and when I look across, like, into her eyes, like, I'm not thinking, like, what if she finds out? What if she finds out? Like, that's not who I am today. Like, I am satisfied with her. I'm more than satisfied. And I was writing about this the other night, man. Like, my relationship is so gravy. And it's entirety, man. Because, like, she's my best friend and everything. You know, and the disease tells me, though, it'll do them drive-bys and say the grass is greener on the other side. And I know damn well, with all the evidence standing right in front of me, the grass is never greener on the other side. It just looks appealing. See, this thing pulls magic shows in my head. Like, it'll arrange situations and circumstances and people, places, and things, and all these kinds of crazy-ass ideas, and, like, nothing on the outside is really happening. I swore a couple weeks ago that she was getting ready to leave me. I could have swore it. And like, the whole time, like, I'm going through in my head, like, oh, man, she's going to leave me. She's going to take my son, and this is going to happen. And all this craziness inside of my head, man, that this disease manifested. I never once talked to anybody about it. I never called my sponsor. I never even prayed about it. And what ended up happening is I held on to this for, like, 2 weeks. The second, like, something came out and I actually talked to her about it, like, my ideas were diminished. Because it was nothing like what I was thinking. Nothing. And it's that shitty committee up in my head, man. You got Mr. Insecurity. You know what I mean? That's got to dress up nice. Like, look, I'm going to tell you the truth. Mr. Insecurity said that I needed to get a haircut before I came down here. Right? So, like, I got a friend that's living in my house right now. He's got clippers. Because, like, my normal person I get my haircut from was too busy. So I take these clippers and I start shaving my head. And, like, I didn't do a very good job. Let's just say that. But, like, the clippers died on me halfway through. You know what I mean? So I had, like, this big patch of hair right here. Like, and I'm unfucked, you know what I mean, about this. Like, I'm going through it. Yeah, because I got to speak. All that pride and ego, you know what I mean? I got to share. I got to sit up here. You know what I mean? And, like, so I had to get this right. So, like, I'm stressing out, asking for help. You know, the clippers are broke. It's getting worse and worse. So, like, I call this barber up, and I go down there, and he gives me a haircut, and he cuts my damn widow peak off. Like, and, like, the whole time, like, the jokes are funny and everything else like that. But, like, look, like, I was still, like, I wore a hat. I haven't probably worn a hat besides when I'm working in a long-ass time or fishing. You know what I mean? Like, I got no business wearing a hat. Because, look, in reality right now, like, this is an insecure notion. Like, this is an insecure act that I'm doing because, like, my widow peak is cut. Because he fucked my shit up. It ain't my fault, you know what I mean? I guess I got what I paid for. I already had the hair. Like, I went in like this. It was better off than I started, you know what I mean? But, like, the disease tells me, like, somebody's not going to listen to me because my hair's messed up. I don't have anything good to say anyways. But I was ready not to share about this whole committee thing and with the bookmarks and everything else like that. You know what I mean? I know better because, look, like, when I did H&I, I had some people inside the treatment facility that I had to come and share in front of that, like, I'd rather hit with a chair. I'd rather hit with a chair. And, like, some things I did, some things they did, and all of that. But, look, when I got up there and I spoke and I put it out there that, like, me and the other friend, or I guess you can say friend, the other gentleman in the room, like, we need to put that stuff aside, like, God came in. So that's why when I came up here, like, I had to, like, make whatever kind of amends that I could and get this stuff off of me, man. See, like, I got to look at what I'm putting in, what I'm feeding, man. Am I feeding the disease or am I feeding my recovery? I need to look at that. Because I don't know about anybody else, man, like, I haven't gambled in a long time. I don't even know how long. I haven't stepped out of my relationship in a long time. But, like, for real, it's a one-day-at-a-time program. You know what I mean? Like, before I relapsed in this process, if I look at it hard enough, man, I was feeding the disease long before I ever picked up the drug again. And, like, it started like this, man. Like, I had a family member who I used with, and I had, like, 7 months clean. And when I first got out of... I got out of jail. I had to do 60 days in jail when I first got clean. And the government decided to give me this big-ass check. When I got this check, man, like, money. I guess I don't even like using the word because it's a trigger. Because I had this tech one time put a gun in front of us and he said, there's a trigger. Do you want to play with it? You know, so I don't know about, you know, like, belts used to be a trigger, bathrooms, McDonald's, all them weird things like that. I don't know. Listen, I had a lot of money and I didn't know how to say, like, I feel like using because of my pride and ego. I collected a 6-month key tag and they asked me how I did that and all of a sudden I became somebody. And, like, to tell somebody I wanted to get high was a sign of vulnerability. And, thank God, like, I didn't die. But what ended up happening was, man, is I ended up moving in an apartment above the person that I had used with that was inside, that was in my family. And, like, I'm feeding this disease, man. And, like I had $15,000. I could have got a place anywhere else. But I had the great idea that I should live above them. Because, like, here's the thing. Like, I thought that I'd be able to get this person clean. That's not the truth, man. I don't get nobody clean. The only person I keep clean is myself, and this program is based on attraction. So I really need to look at what I'm doing, too. But I was living at this place, man, and I had all this money, and, like, somehow I convinced myself that I didn't need to buy a TV and I didn't need to buy a VCR. So I used to go down to their apartment, which was below me, and watch movies on a state prison TV, you know what I mean, that came from, like, Crescent, state prison or whatever. Like, it was my old uncle's from a long time ago. And, like, sit there and watch these movies while they were in the kitchen, in the bathroom, smoking crack and shooting dope. And I told myself I was all right. I told myself that I wasn't going to use. And my friends in my support group used to drop me off there, and they'd be like, you all right? I'd be like, I got this. I'll be fine. All this stuff. And, like, I was feeding the disease, man, and I set myself up for failure. You know, and, like, nothing even happened in my life. Just one day, this lady came to give them some drugs. They already caught. I said, take me to Sheets. She said, no. I said, I'll give you $20. I know any good dope fiend will take $20 for a ride to Sheets. But anyways, I said, I'll give you $20. They took me to Sheets. I said, give me what's in your pocket. And it was on. And, like, as far as the identification goes that anybody needs, like, I was a living hell. For 3 weeks, I spent all that money, man. I dreamed that NA had a SWAT team, and they were watching me get high. I was looking out my window. I was seeing snow piles. I was seeing snow piles, and I was telling, like, the person that I was using with, look, they're praying for me. Like, it was not cool. I was stuck in a closet, and there were Narcotics Anonymous members knocking on my door, and, like, I could not say help. I was hiding from them. Because, like, look, I gave this program a chance the first time I was around here, and something happened inside of me. And something changed. I fed this spirit that I started to have. And for once, it started to stand up for me, regardless of my disease. And I started to give some power to a God of my understanding, and I started to give some power to this recovery, and not to my disease. And even when I relapsed, man, like, it wasn't sitting right anymore. They say, you know, a mouthful of NA, body full of chemicals, doesn't mix. I am a prime example of that. I'm calling people's houses, don't ever come to my house, blah, blah, blah. Everything else, thinking there was nobody there the whole time. And, like, the gratitude is, thank God that, like, I'm not a vegetable right now. Or, like, that one didn't kill me because, like, I can't even think of all the names of, like, the people that I've known in this program just in my small area that have died as a direct result of disease because they thought they could use again. And, like, who am I to sit up here and, like, be fucking around with my recovery and feeding the disease when, like, all my friends are in caskets? I need to take a look at that, man. And, you know, like, I'm not one to be talking about service or whatever, especially after this whole bookmark deal. But, like, look, man, like, to be able to do something for free without any expectation of reward is a change in my life. And, like, every opportunity besides the bookmark, I get, like, I try to do it, man. And, like, just recently, like, with my son being born and stuff, like, I've had to tell some people no. You know what I mean? And, like, but, like, see, like, it's almost like, because I love this program so much and I love the things that it's done for me, man, that, like, I feel bad for telling guys I can't sponsor them because I don't have the time. But, look, I need to look at it this way, man. Like, look, if I try to sponsor somebody and I don't have the time for them, like, I'm taking them away from whatever God wants them, who He wants them to be with. If I'm taking commitments left and right, you know what I mean? I'm taking that away from people that, because look, I might only be able to show up half the time. You know what I mean? Like, like I had to make some kind of those decisions this year, and it was kind of like strange to me because it was new territory. You know what I mean? But the disease, not the substance, man. Like, I need to look at like everything that happens before I put it in my hand, and everything that happens in between the next one. You know what I mean? I know for me, man, like even with the sex thing, like being honest, man, like I have been powerless over sex for like the longest time, and like being able, like when look, cause look, here's how it happens. I gotta be honest. My fiance says no at night. We're laying in bed. She says no. All of a sudden, I look bad. She don't like me anymore. She don't love me. I did something wrong. Everything negative, and it's always about me. Like, why does my disease do that to me? Like, why do I need sex to like validate myself? You know what I mean? Like, this is the disease, not the substance. You know what I mean? And like, I need to take a look at like sex. Like, I heard somebody say in a fellowship before, like, coming gives you a warm sensation throughout your whole body. Taking a hit of crack gives you a warm sensation throughout your whole body. The first time you put that needle in your arm, it gives you a warm sensation throughout your whole body. Like, just what has changed? You know what I mean? I need to look at, like, and, like, no day's better than others. Like, there are days better than others, but, like, the point staying, man, is, like, I need to look at, like, what's causing emotional, spiritual, and physical decay in my life. What messes me up on the inside? What am I doing? And what makes me feel good? When I'm sitting in a meeting, and a sponsee or somebody that I help starts crying because they can't understand why I've helped them, feels a hell of a lot better than any of that other bullshit. Like, that's what the stuff that I need to be doing. Like, what am I feeding, man? What food? What am I putting on the table, and who am I asking to eat with? I need to look at that stuff, man. You know, and thank God this thing is a disease, man. Because look, the sex. I wasn't even a gambler before I started. I mean, so I came to Alcoholics Anonymous.
Motherfucker.
No, I'm just kidding. I love everybody here to the best of my ability. Look, the gambling, the sex, like, I mean, I guess I'm not a big food junkie, man, but, like, there's certain times when I have to have ice cream and everything, and it might be healthy, you know what I mean? Chocolate gets me off sometimes, you know? But listen, like, all of that stuff, man, like, if it was just about the dope, if it said dope, if it said drugs, this message would have not came across the way it did. No way. I'd have to go to church and psych and psychology and or whatever. I'd have to go see a counselor all the time, and like, that's fine. I've done all that in my recovery, but like, I would have to look for the answers everywhere. But if I open up my basic text and I change some words around if need be, and I look real hard and deep, like, this stuff addresses everything in my life, man. Wait. The substance, man, like, I wish I could blame it on the dope. I really wish I could, man. But it happened long before the dope, man. Happened long before the dope. Because, like, why is it that, like, every time, like, somebody left me in my life, my disease progressed, like, 10 times worse? Because I need people to need me. And that's just sickness. And, like, I want to get to the point where, like, the you know, we got codependency and all that other... Them great words that I learned about and I forget about because I was an outpatient, but I didn't have it drilled. It was only like a few hours a day. But anyways, like, I want to get to the point where, like, I don't need nothing, but having everything in my life is like a blessing. You know what I mean? Because, like, I've had some people that have moved away recently in my life, man, and, like, I want to go with them, you know what I mean, when they move, because, like I care about these people, you know, and like, when they leave, like I want to be mad at first, you know what I mean? Tell them F you and all this other stuff and why are you leaving me and blah, blah, blah. But, like, I'm trying to get to the point, man, where, like, understanding, like, not just here because I can say it, but, like, feel it. Like, God don't close the door without at least opening a window, man. You know what I mean? And, like, I was the guy that didn't want to surrender, like, people, places, and things when I came to this program because for a long time I thought that... I used it with a lot of my family members. And, like, Narcotics Anonymous was telling me to stay away from people, places, and things. So, like, in my eyes, like, I don't know, this might have been, like, some dope fiend stuff going on in my head early in recovery. But, I was used to telling me to stay away from my family. You know what I mean? And, like, I struggle with that. But like the hit is, man, is when I surrendered, like those people, places, and things over, and I actually made a decision to let go of some of that stuff, man. I remember my sponsor told me, he said, I hang around a bunch of junkies and crackheads and thieves all day. The only difference now is we don't do that stuff anymore. And like that was the attraction that I needed, man, because like I thought that like I couldn't give up the guys I used to boost with. You know what I mean? Or make the trips to Philly with or whatever. Like I thought I couldn't do that. But like this program gave me like everybody that like was in my life prior to. And like, and the other hit is, it's like my family now is like living better just because I'm living better. See, this thing, like, this is the thing, man, like, you know, you got song, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Like, look, this thing gave me something. And like, if I have a light, man, like, I have to be enlightened first to light the light. That's what my sponsor says. He comes up with this real kooky stuff all the time. You know what I mean? He has too much time on his hands. But anyways, like, this little light, man, that I have, this spirit, this smile that I have in my face when, like, people hug me and I tell my family I love them and stuff, like, is rubbing off. And I can see it. You know what I mean? Like there's some change occurring in my life, man, just because of how I'm living. You know, and like the hit is, man, it's just because my son was baptized, and I was standing up there, and they're getting ready to put the water on him, and some people in my support group know like about like me and my father's relationship and everything. My father was bawling his eyes out with joy and pride. And it wasn't but almost a year ago he was slicing his wrists because of this disease. And I wasn't there with him doing it. I was in this program and I get a phone call on my grandma. I go over there. Oh, shit. I get over there and I go into this house and Hey Jude from the Beatles is playing. And this dude, my father's ready to slice his wrist because he's detoxing off methadone. And, the doctors shut him off, and he's ready to hang it up, man. And, like, it took me about 2 hours to talk to this man and give me this knife. And, if I wasn't in this program, like, let's play it the other way. Fuck the knife, let's go get some more. Like, that might have been the time when I was ready to rob a bank and was going to do it. But, like, I went into this house, man, and, like, I was able to talk to this man and give me this knife, and I told him, I said, look, my son is about to be born. I need you to help me raise my child. I don't know how to raise a child. Irregardless of the disease, I know who my father is. Because look, who I am is a reflection of him. Who is shared up here is a reflection of him. All this stuff, it talked about somewhere in the literature that we need to return to childlike hope and faith. My father taught me some stuff. And, like, when my son was born, dude, he didn't miss a moment. I gave him the keys to my car. He drove my car. He stayed at home and watched my 14-year-old cousin. And, like, he came to the hospital, like he ain't in this program and he ain't doing everything that we're doing and everything. But, like, look, I've been going fishing with him, man. Like, he was there for the baptism, man. And I can't, you ain't finding it in no fucking bag. Or no wax paper, or no glass jar. You ain't finding. To be able to stand up there and watch him cry like that, and be there, and know a year ago he was almost slicing his wrist, and I had this program in me, and I have a little bit of understanding. Look, it came, look, let's look at it honestly. I've dealt with some newcomers in this program. Being able to talk them out of stuff gave me some experience to be able to talk this man out of some stuff. And not go and say, fuck it, do it, I don't care. Because, like, I've been feeding my spirit, and I've been feeding the God of my understanding, besides the bookmark thing. Like, you can't put that, man, in a bag of soap to have my father in my life, man. Just going fishing with him. It's awesome. It's awesome. And then, and like, touch him, and, like, I'm not counting ribs when I'm hugging him. Like, this thing, and like, if he decides to come in, like, that's his choice. I don't throw any down his throat, man. You know what I mean? This program taught me not to be an enabler. That's the things that I do. I don't be an enabler, man, and I tell the truth, you know? I don't know, the disease, not the substance, man. Like, this program covers everything, if I look honestly, man. there's some questions, right, in the disease of addiction. It talks about how's my disease manifesting itself recently. I need to take a look at that stuff, you know what I mean? And if you're wondering why you're feeling the way you're feeling, you need to look at what you've been doing. And like that's the whole hit, you know what I mean? If I feel like shit, I've probably been acting like shit. You know what I mean? If I sound like shit, I've probably been talking like shit. Swearing. Anyways, I need to look at that stuff, man. If I need a change in my life, it ain't nobody else's responsibility but me. I don't know. I hope somebody got something out of share. That's all I have.